We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. We're back, and I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Woo! Brian's in a city.
Brian's in a hotel in Chicago, so he's on his little AirPods. You know, we're all good. We're all Gucci. And we have our statistician and Photoshopper back from Morocco, Christian Hernandez.
What's going on?
You look tired, man.
I'm pretty exhausted, but pretty I'm here for you guys.
We're here to give you basketball coverage. We got playoff talk. We're gonna try to scrounge together some Heat talk. We have the draft coming up, the draft lottery. Brian, do you have Tankathon loaded? I should have asked you this pre-show.
I can take me 1 second and get it up.
We got
it.
Yeah,
yes, while I do. Eight days until the lottery, guys. Eight days.
So, by the way, let's have a quick announcement. Well, as you all know, we are part of the Five Reasons Sports Network, started by Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham. You can check out our family of shows from The Dolphins, 3 yards per carry, 2 swings and misses, to all the great stuff on our network. So check all that out. So the network, we're throwing a watch party for the NBA draft lottery. I told Ethan not to, but Ethan said we're going to do a draft lottery. So we're going to do a draft lottery watch party. Location TBA, I'm pretty sure, 90% sure it's going to be at the Tap 42 in Aventura. But you'll keep an eye out for that. We're going to be tweeting that. So check out our social media at MIA Heatbeat on Twitter and Instagram to kind of get an update on what we're going to do. The show is going to be out there. Ethan's going to be out there. Five Reasons Sports is going to be out there. We're going to have t-shirt giveaways. We're going to have prizes. We're going to have all sorts of cool stuff for you as we watch the Heat hopefully get a top pick. Brian, according to Tankathon, right now, what pick would Miami Heat get?
The Heat have the 13th pick.
I have the 13th pick. Okay, so let's hope that it's not that.
Number one. What the?
Who got number one?
Cleveland.
Write that down.
The Lakers jumped up number. The Lakers jumped up to number three.
So actually, speaking of the Lakers, we could actually talk a little bit about the Heat, how the Lakers are interviewing Juwan Howard for that position.
And they're announcing Ty Lue as a new coach an hour ago. That just got broken.
Ty Lue is looking like he's going to be the head coach of the Lakers. Is it official yet, Brian?
Yahoo is reporting that he's expected to be the new head coach. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's been through it. So that means Juwan gets to stay. Which I guess is good, right? Like, I don't know how to, like, how do we feel about that? Are we just happy or do we just yawn?
Yeah, like,
do we care about assistant coaches? Like, how do we feel?
I don't really know enough about how this works to, like, have a serious comment, I guess. But I don't know if like Juwan right now is in that stage where he's a top assistant with the Heat. And usually this is the time where if there are guys who people think have the ability to be a head coach in this league, eventually kind of, you know, start giving an opportunity. And I guess you see how he's, you know, been interviewing for a few jobs of late. And, you know, so in that sense, like what happens if he never gets a job after like a few years of doing this?
Does that mean he's not good?
Is that for him? Like, I don't know how this works. Like I would imagine that more experience is always a good thing. I mean, look at Pop. Like, he's out there. How old is Pop? I don't even know how Pop is.
Pop's like in his almost 70, I believe.
I'm looking this up because I don't want to, you know, age is a funny thing in that range. Like, I've seen 80-year-olds that look like 60-year-olds. He's 70 years old.
Jeesh. He looks good.
Yeah, I mean, and he still seems very sharp, and it's like, so, but yeah.
I think that kind of like this whole thing really highlighted to me that, and this happened a lot this season, and this happens a lot in the playoffs too. So like, we're watching like Nick Nurse like totally botch rotations and like doing weird stuff and like not playing Gasol against Embiid. Like, that was corrected in game four, but like a lot of weird stuff, like a lot of good coaches. Well, I guess Nurse is not like a reputation good coach, but Brad Stevens has done like some weird stuff that people are like, what are you doing? Like, and I guess it kind of shows that like no coach is going to be ever like 100% like on the money all the time. And this season, like, there was, I think the noise around Spo was the loudest it's been, would you say? Like, is that fair? Like, the fan base like really got on Spo like pretty much the hardest, I think, since the first LeBron year.
I don't know. I mean, there's some parts of the fan base that have honestly never really liked Spo that much, but and a lot of his accolades, I guess, come from the fact that he had three All-Stars come to his team.
He's always had a top 10 defense. Like, he's like always good for a top 10.
Exactly. Defense. He has a calling card, which is very important for any coach in the league. Like, you have to be at least close to great or great in at least one aspect of the game.
You know, and something about his defense, and his defense now that I find super interesting, especially watching the playoffs now, like, the playoffs have been so, so switch heavy, right? So, like, the Bucks are not a team that switch a lot. Like, they're kind of the outlier. They, like, play more of a kind of Heat defense where they drop Lopez in the drop zone. But, like, the Heat are not a very switch-heavy team, despite having the personnel that could theoretically do it. Now, they do it. But, you know, watching the playoffs, I really, like, the Heat have a lot of very versatile defenders, and they still run kind of like a different, like, it's kind of cool to watch, right? So like, a lot of teams are playing similar defensive schemes, and you have somebody like Miami who's kind of playing like a more traditional way, throwing in switches, throwing in traps, and I don't know, it's like, I don't think Spoelstra gets enough credit for what he does on that end. I do think that sometimes, like, the spotations and everything, like, yeah, I can see some merit to that, and there's some stubbornness in what he does, but when you just look at the totality of what he does and how creative his defensive sets are, that, you know, that the Heat have been really injured. They're kind of undermanned. They have a lot of older players, and you watch like what the best teams in the league are doing. It's not like Miami's right up there doing it differently. And I think that's really interesting. Then that's like stuck out to me watching the playoffs.
Did you just call them spotations?
Yeah, spotations. That's a Heat Twitter thing. You've never heard that?
I feel like you're the only one that's ever said that.
No, that's a thing, no. Right?
I mean, I've seen people use it. I mean, yeah, it's usually like around the third or fourth quarter when Spo decides that a group is either working or not working and does something outside of the usual that usually doesn't end up doing any good. But, you know, I mean, there's always occasions where lineups can be frustrating, especially when you just have a lot of
lack of offense.
No, or I'm just going to say a lot of inconsistent players.
A lot of not shooting.
Can lead you to some dark places, I suppose.
Well, you know, now that we're talking about inconsistent players, I think now we can pivot to the series that everyone knows that I want to talk about, Raptors Sixers.
Oh,
right?
God.
No, but hold on.
Wait. Kyle Lowry is out. Let's get that out of the way.
Kyle Lowry, I'm a Kyle Lowry apologist. We'll get into Kyle in a second. I do want to talk about Jimmy Butler, though, right? Because, like, I think a lot of conversation on the timeline has been like, oh, that he could have had him for Jay Ritt. It's like, look, he's so good. And Jimmy Butler is obviously a very good player, right? Like, I don't think what we're watching right now in Philadelphia, you know, Jimmy Butler take over fourth quarter is playing really well. I don't think that that's like surprising to us. I mean, we knew that, right? And
he's the best player in the fourth quarter in clutch time situations in what, the last couple of years, Chris? What was that story that just came out from ESPN? Or not even ESPN, Tom Aperture, I think.
I was like, yeah,
that in the playoffs statistically, I suppose that he was probably using the clutch statistic. I'm not going to lie. I just saw the headline and didn't read it. I was definitely guilty of that on that one. So I don't know specifically how he put that together, but I imagine he used something like that. And it showed that Jimmy Butler was the most efficient player in those situations in the playoffs. So it's a pretty strong argument for it.
But like, well, my thing is like, okay, like we knew Jimmy was good, but I kind of want to go back to this. Like, I just don't think that was the best situation for Miami, considering that he was going to have to get maxed this summer, right? So if you trade for him, you trade Kelly, Josh, and a pick, right? So you start emptying your assets. You don't really create cap space. You get rid of an asset that you would have used to dump a contract to get, like, cap space, right? So what you're going to be stuck with is Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, Bam, not even Kelly, James Johnson, with no room to get better, right?
Yeah,
so like,
but
and then you have this guy Max at 30 years old with Thibodeau minutes, you know what I mean? So it's like, I know he's good, right? But like, if you put Jimmy Butler on the Heat minus Jay Rich minus Kelly minus a pick, are they better than Indiana? What are they, a 5 or 6 seed?
Like, I mean, probably, because they would have the best player in the series.
You're emptying assets. You're emptying your two of your most valuable assets for a 5 seed and a first round out? 5 or 6 seed? Like, really?
I mean, what have we been talking about since we signed all these contracts to these, like, you know, middle-of-the-road players? We've been talking about that we need, like, a blue-chip guy, a true star to build around. And even at age 30, like, regardless of the contract situation, Jimmy Butler is that guy because he's an animal.
But then how do you add around him? How do you add around him?
What do you mean? You already have pieces around him. What you need, what this team lacks, is a true number one player, an alpha, somebody who's – it's going to be him. Like, there's no having to question, like, who's going to be taking the shot at the end of the game. You know who it's going to. It's going to be his show. And that's what this team needs, especially offensively. And he can do everything. Like, that's why. Like, you're seeing it right now. He's showing himself as the most valuable player to that Philadelphia team. Like, coming up big in the biggest moments. That's what this Heat team lacked.
Yeah,
this team,
they're still a
3 seed, a 4 or 5 seed if they had traded for Jimmy Butler and if it had been Richardson, Olynyk, and a first.
So you're saying, so what are we talking about? We're talking about capped out at a 4 or 5 seed with no reasonable way to get better?
Here's a scenario.
We're already capped out, Gianni.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that,
Think about it this way. So the Heat trade for Jimmy Butler in before his free agency kicks in. Technically, he's going to make, let's say he makes between 30, 35. How much is Kelly and Jay Rich making together? Close to 30 themselves. If you add in another player, whatever that first round pick would be, you're basically talking about $30 million combined. So it's almost like an even out. What the Heat are going to get in the following offseason is cap space to play around and possibly move someone like Deion and get us another max player that they could add on the team. So could you imagine if the Heat had Jimmy Butler, they could actually probably put themselves in the room for Anthony Davis if they wanted to.
I don't see how they would be able to create the cap space for Anthony Davis.
They would be able to because Hassan and Goran are opting out. They're opting out.
Those contracts that were so bad, you know, a year or two ago are now much more palatable.
Okay, but yeah, the thing with Goran and Hassan, like, so let's say they opt in, right? So Goran and Hassan opt in and then they come off the books. Or even if they opt out, you're only creating about $10 million in cap space.
That's this season. I'm talking about the following off season.
Yeah, but it's still in the following off season. It's even less cap space because everyone other's contract raises up like annually, right? So like then they come off the books, you're only creating like $10 to $15 million in cap space, which is like not really any significant cap space. The Ryan Anderson deal is the one that you really need to come off. And then at that point, you can start getting closer to opening a max. And then you have to start attaching picks to dump a Deion. But you already gave one pick to get Jimmy Butler. So you're talking about
all those free contracts.
Well, hold on. But you're talking about 2 years down the line, right? So now we're further. So now Jimmy Butler's 32, almost 33 years old.
That's too late now. There's no point of getting. I mean, if you want to get him now, then you're going to.
No, but that was my point. When they didn't make the trade, they would not realistically be able to like do anything reasonable until he's like already 32, almost 33 years old. And at that point, what you're going to build around, like people are going to come to play with a 33 year old, like they're going to tether themselves to that. That's my point. Like, I think that if you're going to trade your like best assets, you wait until something probably more adept for your situation comes along. I know that Jimmy's a really good player. I just didn't think that was the right move for this organization because of the kind of circumstances around him. And I know that it's like, it's funny to make jokes because like he's going off in the series and he's playing really well. But like at the end of the day, and like there could be a lot of change in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie Irving might leave. Kawhi Leonard might go west. Like, there's a lot that could change in the conference. So yeah, like talking about it, just like, oh, it might be a four seed. It's a little silly because you know people can change, things can shift, and then whatever. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like that was like the best situation for them.
Gianni, let me ask you something. Do you think that how you see them, you know, their career shaping out, you know, assuming that they continue to improve, that Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo could be the second and third best players on a championship team?
Probably not, and I'll tell you why. I don't see Bam as a guy, and we talked about this a little bit with Nick Hyas, right? Like, Jokic is offense, right? Like, Jokic is the offensive system. With other players, like Marcus Gasol and like Chris Bosh, Chris Bosh is probably like a little like too offensively talented, but like a guy like Marc Gasol, you can run your offense through them, which Bam can probably be that guy because he's such a good passer and he could do so many like cool things on the elbow or whatever. But I don't see Bam as a guy that can be a consistent scoring threat. And I think the Raptors are a good team to look at, right? Like, they have a lot of good players. Like, everybody knows how much I feel about Kyle Lowry and how high I am on Marc Gasol. But in reality, like, the only other like legitimate scoring threat is Kawhi, right? Like, Pascal's been neutralized. So you don't really have like a go-to scorer. And I really think that in this league and the way it's going, I don't think that you can just have like one guy that like that's like your scorer and then everybody else around you like complements it. Like, I don't think that you can do that. So that'd be my thing with Bam and Justice. I don't think they'll ever be like these really good wing scorers.
I'm not sure what you were talking about with Siakam. Like, he's averaging 21 points per game on 50% from the field. Like, who exactly is shutting him down?
No, but since they made the adjustment of putting Embiid on him, he's been horrible.
Well, isn't he also hurt?
Well, he got hurt the last game, but the two games prior, like after game one, he's been bad. Like, he's been legitimately bad, and they've been outscored in Pascal minutes. Like, it's not a small thing. Like, and that's been, like, honestly a really good adjustment by Brent Brown, moving Embiid on him, putting Simmons on Kawhi, and then they're putting they're putting Tobias Harris on Marc Gasol because Marc Gasol's, like, not shooting enough, so he's not really punishing them. So they're giving up the size, and they say, if Marc Gasol wants to post us up to beat us, go ahead. Like, and they're not – the Raptors aren't doing it. So, like, that's kind of
– Gasol doesn't really like to post up too
he
much.
Doesn't. And like, but the fact that he can shoot over Tobias is not a small thing, but Gasol's like not, last game was like one of the first games that he's been aggressive shooting the ball. The Raptors, by the way, are shooting 30% on three for the series. It was like 29% for the series, which is just like horrid. And if you subtract Kawhi, it's like 23% from three. They've been dreadful shooting the ball. Danny Green is like been abysmal. Kyle is the only one that's like trying to shoot, but it's not going well, and he's like he's the second best shooter. Pascal's been like not good from three, so like they're really struggling, and a lot of those Philly adjustments are because of that. I mean, the size that Embiid has been put on Pascal has been like a thing that's really disrupted them.
You know, that's playoff basketball. I mean, Johnny, you were the one that posted that little GIF statistic showing how just about every star in the league gets noticeably worse from the field in the
Not
playoffs,
Kawhi.
With the exception of two guys. It was Kawhi and Kyrie. Kyrie only stayed the same.
You know, Dwayne Wade also. So I actually want to reference that. So I gotta find the Twitter account, the Instagram account, because that's a graph from a 538.
Chris Paul, I think, not Kyrie, that stayed the same.
Chris Paul and Kyrie stayed the same.
Oh, they both stayed the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me pull up this Instagram account because they okay. So at @LLEWELLYN_Gean. So they're a writer for 538, and they have this really cool Instagram account. I'll put it in the description of the episode where they have like cool like moving graphs or whatever. And then they put one about true shooting percentage for their player's career in the playoffs versus the regular season. And everybody in the playoffs, like all the stars, completely like get worse. Embiid and Westbrook in particular just fall off a cliff. Kawhi Leonard, on the other hand, makes a total jump. And Kyrie Irving and Chris Paul stay pretty neutral. And then I kind of did some digging to see like what Dwayne Wade's numbers look like. And Dwayne Wade stays exactly the same. He's like at 55% in regular season true shooting, and then 55% in the playoffs. So, or 58, I don't remember the exact number, but I thought that was pretty cool that D-Wade was one of the few guys that just like completely same production. He is consistent.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising though that players in general shoot worse in the playoffs, because in the playoffs is when players tend to care much more about defense and the closeouts are harder.
And you
more
play
aggressive.
Better teams.
Yeah, no, exactly. And better teams always, at least these days, tends to imply you're facing teams with good size and length and the ability to disrupt.
I thought the Dwayne stat was interesting because I know that in the latter part of his Big Three days, you know, especially the last series with the Big Three, like he was hurt, right? So like during the first and second championships, like he was playing with like a really bad knee. If you guys remember, he had a DMP rest in the playoffs against the Bucks one year. I don't know if we remember that.
Well, because it was those Bucks.
It was Brandon Jennings Bucks at six when Spo's like DMP rest, like, you know, load management in the playoffs. So I'm surprised that despite like,
oh no, poor Celtics.
Oh yeah, they're not. It's over after Paul Pierce said the series
was
over.
And the Bucks are doing this with Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe on the bench. You've got to be joking me.
You know, I thought was interesting. So Zach Lowe was talking about this on his podcast about George Hill and Rodney Hood leaving LeBron and suddenly looking like good basketball players again.
Are we at that point? What Kevin Durant said might have a whole lot of truth to it.
That there's a toxicity around LeBron and it's hard to play with him.
I can see it.
I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of, I mean, Rodney Hood in particular. Rodney Hood is, I know that he hasn't shot well. This series has been a little different, but like Rodney Hood, big ass shots down the stretch, contributing in a big way to a Portland team that has Lillard struggling a little bit. Which that series has been crazy. Have you guys been able to like watch that series?
Yeah,
I haven't watched.
Was it four overtime?
It's been nuts.
They didn't have much ESPN in Morocco.
No, they weren't talking about Jokic playing 60 minutes. Did you guys see that? No,
they love the soccer over there, dude. Did you guys see that free kick by Messi?
Yes, I did. Everyone was tagging
me.
Oh
my god! I was sitting at the bar. I had just like gotten my first drink after like 11 hours on a bus that day. And God, that was.
You guys watch Endgame?
No.
Yes. Oh my God! Can we do an Endgame show and then a Game of Thrones show?
I want to talk about Game of Thrones. Can we talk about Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I'm down because there's been a ton of criticism around it.
Okay, so I haven't seen this week's episode yet. I was flying, so I'm gonna watch that when this podcast is over. I'm gonna try to.
I
sneak.
Haven't seen it either.
But I just want to talk about Game of Thrones in general, like the social phenomenon that is Game of Thrones. So,
oh, okay, all
right. I don't watch Game of Thrones, right? Like, I've never seen Game of Thrones, and I started watching season 7, the last episode. That's when I started watching Game of Thrones. And I've watched from that point every episode until this one, because I just haven't gotten to it yet. And basically just because I want to do social hour with my friends, because they have watch parties and drink wine, and I was like, I want to do that. That looks like fun. Why am I not going over to my friend's house at his penthouse in Brickell, and why are we not drinking wine on a balcony watching Game of Thrones? Why am I not doing that? So I did that, and I'm
that's a very Miami thing to do.
Oh my god, it's so great, dude. I was like, what was it? This is a life. So I just wanted to be part of social hour, and now I'm part of the memes. And honestly, like, I can't think of anything like this, that I wake up the next day and I turn on Twitter, regardless of whatever account I'm on, and everyone's talking about this and making jokes. And I was like, this is wonderful. Like, everybody's talking, like, literally everybody is talking about it.
It's because you have millions of people that are all emotionally invested in the same thing, you know?
At work, it's, dude, at work, it's like everybody, like, oh, they're talking about the episode, and they're talking about, like, you know, they're talking about Targaryens and dragons. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, you're grown men. Like, what are you doing?
And you watch anime. You can't talk.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. As someone who watches anime, I don't get why this is what's decided to be the most popular thing ever.
I mean, it's not that I don't. It's not really being forced on anybody. Although I kind of am forcing it on my girlfriend right now.
Does she like it?
I think she does, because she's like, I can tell she's at least somewhat engaged when she's like asking questions and stuff like that. And
oh, I try not to ask questions. I don't want to disturb.
Well, like,
Game of Thrones, the amount of like lore and backstory that Martin built like behind this universe is ridiculous. So if you really wanted to know like all the nuance of what's going on, you could, but you'd have to go read a whole bunch of stuff.
Do you like what? So a lot of people are being super critical of the show, right? Especially like last episode, I saw like people were critical of just the tactics and the writing of the tactics or whatever.
Apparently all the episodes, at least like the summaries of them, have leaked, so people know what the ending of the show is. People aren't happy about how it's gonna end.
Oh really, that leaked? I didn't know that. I missed that.
Yeah, it's leaked on Reddit. Apparently they leaked already the last episode before it aired, and everything that was on that leak came true. So
they can't be happy.
Leaves you to say that everything else is probably true too.
Well, I imagine they might have a couple endings like filmed, and then they might swap out the endings.
Could be.
Right, because there's probably like a couple ways to end it. So, like, I guess.
Did they film like two endings for How I Met Your Mother?
Did they? They picked a bad one then.
They filmed two endings for Breaking Bad, but the other one was kind of a funny alternate ending. It was so Bryan Cranston
waking up
as his character in
Malcolm in the Middle,
which is funny.
Have you seen that, Chris?
That is funny.
I've seen it. It's really funny. And he's like, I was a drug dealer, and Jesse, and I was always in my underwear, and
that's incredible.
I gotta send it to you. It's really funny. But I mean, Brian, have you like kept up with the show like this whole time, or like when did you start?
I kind of started late last year.
Okay, so you're new to it.
I had to watch a lot of it.
Yeah, like, I didn't. Realize.
I basically binge watched most of the season. I know the Caius is like crazy.
I'm gonna ask the Caius if he could come on to talk about this.
He watched every single season like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then I'm sure he saw the last episode. So at least me and him could kind of like talk about how we feel about some of the things that happen. Although I guess I don't want to ruin it for you guys, because like haven't watched it.
No. I'm gonna watch it as soon as
I'm gonna watch it
as soon as this ends. I really want to sneak, at least like I want to try to watch half the episode before Rockets Warriors. I'm actually super excited for that. But yeah, like it feels like a really cool like cultural phenomenon that I'm a part of, and even though I haven't been with this, like I'm just learning people's names, right? So like I know I like Sansa. Sansa's cool. I like her. I like Cersei. Cersei's cool. I like her. I like, who's the guy that keeps trying to get with the lady who's the knight? I like him. He's funny.
Jamie.
No. Jamie's Cersei's brother.
Are you talking about Tormund?
Yeah. Tormund. I like him. He's cool. I stand. Yeah. So I think Sansa's my favorite. Oh, Arya. Obviously, Arya out here.
Ooh, I. You know, they actually had a pretty cool Game of Thrones event in Chicago at an AT&T flagship store downtown. And I was able to like take pictures around different props that they actually used for the show and costumes. But the cool thing they had was actually they had a photo op of the throne. So I think that was pretty fucking cool.
Nice.
Who do we have? Do we have a let's do playoff predictions? Who's gonna get the throne?
Who's gonna get the throne this year?
Who's gonna get the throne?
I don't think Golden State's gonna win.
No, not the NBA. Game of Thrones. We're doing. What are we? We doing Cersei in seven. You know, how do we feel?
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Sansa's my dark horse. I'm gonna go. Sansa's like, you know, it'd be like if the Magic won.
I'm gonna go wild card. I'm gonna go Bran.
Oh my god! What? Who would Bran be? Who would the Bran equivalent be? Would that be the Blazers or the Bucks?
Probably, yeah. And I think the Blazers is actually pretty good.
I think like no, so is Bran represented by the Blazers here. How do you feel, Chris, about the analogy?
It's perfect, honestly.
I think so. I think who would be the Warriors? Would that be Daenerys or Jon? Like who'd be the favorite? Like if we were doing odds, like who's the favorite?
Yeah, there's not a snake house, is there?
Oh yeah, well I don't want to spoil the next episode for you guys, but she might just blow a 3-1 lead. So
I've heard that
we might be comparing her to Daenerys.
It's not looking good for Danny. It's not looking good for Danny. Let me see if there are Vegas odds for the Iron Throne. There has to be, right?
There's got
to
be
for the Iron. Yeah, that's a popular Google search. Okay, the odds have been set. Okay, when was this written? Let me see. Let's see when this article was written. This article. Okay.
Can the Celtics be the Night King?
Okay, so this is on Oddshark. So we're looking at Oddshark. Ooh, Warriors. Damn, Houston -1? Really? Okay. I'm sorry, that was like on the side here. Let me see. Okay, so Jon Snow is the betting favorite right now at +135.
Bran Stark at +450.
Daenerys Targaryen at +550.
Do it.
What's Sansa at? Let me see. Sansa, can I bet on Sansa? Tormar is at +15,000. I might do that, dude. Gambling is amazing.
Ooh, oh my god, Gilly at +100,000.
I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard that the ending is so like shocking that people are going to be pissed off because
oh my god, we need insider trading information. Okay.
That's all I know. I haven't read what actually was spoiled on Reddit.
Arya Stark,
people may be pissed off.
Is +1,400. Okay? I think that's good value.
I think that is good value.
I think that's good value. Okay, so do Jon and Daenerys have a child?
No.
Okay, but Jon and Daenerys' child is +1,200.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it says, I guess there's an unborn child is +1,200.
Well, technically, yeah, she's supposed to be pregnant, but we don't know for sure if she's lying or not.
Okay. Wow, I cannot believe that there are odds. I love how Bran is second. I think John's bad value. I don't think he's gonna get it.
I need to know where the Night King is.
The Night King's not here.
I feel like that could be the wild card.
Is there
I want the Gendry Arya ending, so I think Gendry at +750 is pretty solid value.
Why is he so high? That's a lot. Like over Arya?
Chris.
Because he'd be like if the what?
Could you imagine if the Night King came back and that's it? That's the end of the show.
Oh, wait. Are there betting odds on the Night King?
There aren't. That's the thing. So I'm looking and I don't see the Night King.
He's gone.
But he's supposed to be dead and everyone that's dead comes back.
Oh, dude. Jaqen H'Kar at +10,000.
I'm telling you guys, if the Night King comes back, I had it first.
Who's the hound? Isn't that the dog?
Yes.
Why is the dog?
That's not the dog. That's the dude he was pretty much like the person who helped Arya become who she became.
He's okay. Burned Face Man.
Well, they're +12,500. So that's that. Yeah, this is wow. The odds of wow. I'm very interested in this. I think Arya is good value. Cersei's +2,000.
Yeah, she's definitely dead.
I don't know, dude. I would like it if it ended with her winning. I like when bad guys win. Yeah, so the Daenerys totally blew almost blew like a... Well, the Night King actually blew the 3-1 lead in the Battle of Winterfell. That was very Warriors-esque. Like, he had it. He had it, and then, like, Arya, the block on Iguodala at the other end of the floor. It was just like, dude. Like, I've never seen such a... I have not... Like, honestly, I can't think of a more historic collapse than the Warriors.
Is Arya LeBron right now?
Arya's like... I feel like Arya's a LeBron of this universe. Or the Justice Winslow. Justice better.
There you go.
Why haven't we done Photoshops yet of Justice on Arya? Edit GIFs of Justice on Arya.
Oh, man. Dwayne and Gabrielle are at the Met Gala. Dwayne is wearing like an Assassin's Creed hood with a jacket.
I love Dwayne. I love this post-retirement Dwayne. It's been great. I hope he sticks around the organization. Like, it's just wonderful.
He's going to get so fat.
You know what? I'm a little concerned about that. Let's talk about that. And what are the betting odds for Dwayne Wade, like, getting pudgy? Like, I don't want him to be Antoine Walker.
Look, I am totally down for Dwayne Wade to dominate the Big Three League in, like, 5 years.
Mario Chalmers joining the Big Three League. After winning with Juventus?
For Italy.
No, I know. But was it Juve? Let me see.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm looking it up.
He won a European championship. He won an NCAA championship, an NBA finals championship, and now he's won a EuroLeague championship.
Bologna bad boys, as Mario Chalmers. Bologna bad boys. All he does is win. How many people have won a European championship, an NBA championship, and an NCAA championship?
I think probably is Mario Chalmers.
Probably only one.
What a winner, dude. What the guts. Game 7 for life, dude. Do you remember the guts that he had in Game 7? Do you remember that, Brian?
It was Game 3. Well, you were talking about the Spurs series. I'm thinking of the Thunder series.
When LeBron went out the cramps and then Chalmers to the rescue. Have you noticed that whenever LeBron had cramps, we all wanted Dwayne to be the one to step up, and it never was Dwayne?
Nope.
It was like, Dwayne, come on, do something. And he just did it. It was always Rio.
But he was good that first series against Dallas.
Dwayne was amazing.
He
would have been Finals MVP.
Yep.
And you know what's funny? Like, I think that a lot of that, like, that Dirk Finals, like, I feel like that's a lot of mythology, because Dirk wasn't that great against the Heat in the Finals.
Nope.
Like, I'm going to pull up the stats right now. Like, I think that's grossly overstated. Like, what killed the Heat? Like, Dallas did not play well. Miami just completely, like, LeBron played them out of it. Because, like, I'm going to pull up, like, the averages. I think, like, Dirk was, like, at 21 a game or something. Like, it was something, like, so... Dirk was at 26 a game. He was 26. Let me get the averages. Are these just totals? Does Basketball Reference only give me totals? That's unfortunate.
No, it gives you percentages, too.
No, I wanted like, rebounds.
Jason Terry shot 50% from the field, 40% from three, scoring 18 points a game. Like, Jason Kidd shot 43% from three in the finals. Deshaun Stevenson shot 56% from three.
Dirk went 45 for 46 from the free throw line that series. Jesus Christ.
I mean...
Maybe he had a good series. Maybe we were wrong.
I don't know.
I think it might have been the 06 finals is what everyone...
Dirk was pretty mortal. I mean, the only thing is that Dirk shot 98%.
There we go. I think 26 and 10, I guess.
26.7 per game.
What's his what are his win shares? How lame are we that we're looking at Dirk's win shares from 2011?
What do you mean how many win shares? They won four games in a 7-game series. What are his damn win shares?
33 usage.
He won four games out of a 7-game series. That's his win share.
Dwayne was a monster that series. I need the stats, because he got hurt and then he stopped being. He was like
Dwayne was scoring 27 a game, 7 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, with 55% from the field.
True shooting of 61%.
Yeah,
pretty damn good.
What was the 3-point shooting? 30%. But the free throws. Ah. He was amazing, man. But JJ Barea, totally.
Chris Bosh scored more points in that finals than LeBron James.
That's insane. Think about that. The big three, they were all in the hundreds.
Jason Terry scored more points in that series than LeBron James.
No way, dude. Wow, you're so right. Jason Terry had 108 points in that series. LeBron James had 107 points in that series. I feel like, are you tweeting that out?
Yep.
I mean, like, because, like, dude, I mean, that's the series right there. Jason Terry outscored LeBron in a 6-game series. What a fucking time. Mike Bibby had 19 damn points that series. Thought he was going to save our season.
Should have had Troy Murphy.
You're listening to the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've created a menu of intelligent and entertaining content on demand for commutes, workouts, and more. And by now, you're already familiar with the 15 different podcasts in our network. Today, we are proud to announce the premiere of our brand new website, 5ReasonSports.com. On it, you'll find columns from more than a dozen of our hosts, many who are professional writers in the market. Watch original videos from shows like Miami Heat Beat and Balls Cast. Browse our full merchandise shop. And unlike other outlets in the area, there's no paywall. Everything is absolutely free. All of this from a network that's credentialed from all 5 major sports teams in South Florida. Oh yeah, did we mention that it's free? We're by Miami for Miami. We're sports on your schedule. We're Miami Sports On Demand. We're the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Go to 5ReasonSports.com today.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.